Hello and welcome. You've tuned into Active Listening with T4 Tactics. I'm Marco Galbraith, your host, and our podcast is all about personal success and networking. We'll discuss small business tips, health and wellness issues, personal safety tips, financial gain, and a variety of other topics from professionals in the field. And once in a while, we'll throw in our area of expertise, firearm safety and active shooter response for businesses, churches, and schools. So sit back, relax, listen and learn. Active Listening with T4 Tactics. February 14th, happy Valentine's Day, and I wanted to read to you some information I got from the FBI and in some fusion centers that put together some credible information of the Lakewood Church shooting in Houston, Texas, that occurred at 1:53 p.m. Last Sunday, which was February 11th. So I'm just going to go through this so you can get credible information. The media, as we all know, as I say all the time, the media has to twist it around. They hide certain things. You'll watch how fast this one gets squashed because of what the suspect was. So on February 11, 2024, approximately 1:53 p.m. local time, which would be Houston time, Texas, a suspect entered Lakewood Church, located outside Houston, Texas. The suspect entered the building just before the weekly Sunday Spanish language service. The suspect was dressed in a trench coat, carried a backpack, and had two long rifles. We're going to talk about situation awareness and threat assessment after that sentence. Suspect was accompanied by a 7-year-old boy, later determined to be a biological son of the suspect. We'll talk about that too. The suspect began shooting nearly immediately upon entering the building after pointing weapon at the security guard. Two off-duty police officers who were working as security for the church returned fire, striking the subject. Suspect died on scene. The entire active shooter event lasted approximately 12 minutes. That's actually pretty long for an active shooter attack. Usually they're between 8 to 15 minutes, but having immediate police on the scene, armed police, 12 minutes is kind of lengthy, which we have to understand that the police aren't always going to be there for us because of certain circumstances or whatever, but we have to depend on ourselves and not always the police. Police did an excellent job in this one, but we have to keep in mind that there may not always be there. The shooting left one child who was the suspect critically injured. A 57-year-old man was also shot in the leg and has since been released from the hospital. It remains unclear how the young boy who was taken to a Houston Children's Hospital was struck by gunfire. Was it friendly fire or was it the he-she? After the shooting, the building was evacuated and police were working to reunite families at a nearby fitness center. This is what we have to think about first. If we have a church, school, hospital, facility, business, where is your reunification center going to be? That's very, very, very important. Family and loved ones are going to be coming to the scene, and it can be a real pain in the rear end if you don't already have a reunification center set up. And we talk about this in the T4 Tactics active shooter training. The shooter was identified as Janice Yvonne Marino, age 36. Marino had a number of arrests, which investigators are reviewing. During a press conference on Monday, February 12, 2024, authorities from Houston PD stated that Marino was placed under an emergency detention order in 2016. He further stated that Marino had a documented mental health history. The motive is unclear. Investigators have not officially released a motive. I think we all know why. If you follow me, you know what the motive is. It was a Christian church, and this was a transgender person. But Commander Christopher Hessig of the Houston Police Department stated they have recovered some anti-Semitic writings. He went on to state in a press interview that Houston Police Department is aware of what he called a family dispute, which included Jewish family members. Houston PD stressed the investigation was only at the beginning stages, and there's a lot of work to be completed. If you'll remember, there was a transgender that attacked the school in Nashville, Tennessee, Covenant School. So we may be seeing an uptick on that type of mental illness lashing out. Additional details, the suspect had two weapons on their person, an AR-15 rifle and a 22 caliber rifle. The AR-15 was used in the shooting, while the 22 rifle was not. Authorities have stated the AR-15 was purchased legally, which there's going to be questions and deep investigations as to if they had documented mental health issues, how did they legally purchase that firearm. I sure hope that the person that sold them those rifles has all their correct documentation for that, because ATF and Houston State Police and Houston PD are going to really, really look at that paperwork and find out how that occurred. According to Houston PD, the AR-15 rifle carried a sticker on the buttstock that read Palestine. There we go. Marino reportedly sprayed some type of substance on the ground. Hazmat calls were crude, but were called to the scene, but didn't locate any concern. Houston PD said the suspect claimed to have a bomb on him before they died, but no explosives were found. Media was putting out that they had explosives wrapped around him in a vest, so that's not true. He had multiple aliases, including the name Jeffrey Escante. Authorities have stated that they believe Marino acted alone and no reason to believe this attack to be part of a larger event or action. Monday, February 12th, FBI Houston, Texas Rangers executed a search warrant at the suspect's home, and we'll find out soon what they found there. Where the suspect lived and Lakewood Church, where the attack occurred, was 46 miles. So now, let's talk about, were there pre-attack indicators? With somebody walking in with a backpack, and supposedly this church, and I'm still trying to find out this information, but supposedly this church had some red flags on this person. So when they walk in with a trench coat, a backpack, are they favoring their right side, left side? How are they carrying these rifles in? Are we looking at that? This is threat assessment. Do we have eyes on everybody that's coming in to that church? We have to. Churches are very, very delicate locations because the mission is to bring people to Christ. And if we push people away, then we're not doing the mission of the church or the synagogue or any type of house of worship, the mosque. So we're trying to do the mission of the church, and we can't just turn people away because they look different, but we have to have threat assessment. So let's go back and talk about the seven-year-old boy. Was the seven-year-old boy a calculated distraction that this transgender person used as a shield or as a normalcy bias? Remember, these active shooters, these attackers are very brilliant, and they do a lot of studying. They don't just wake up one morning and go do this. There's a lot of predatory violence and planning and strategic planning behind these attacks. So it'll be interesting to find out how the boy was used. Was it a shield or was it a normalcy bias? Did that attacker think, well, when they see me walk in with a seven-year-old boy, they're going to automatically think, well, they're not going to do anything. We've got a child with them. That's what humans think. That's what people tend to think. So we have to really, we have to look at this one. There's no known profile for an active shooter, although we're starting to see an uptick in the transgender community starting to lash out and attack our churches, our houses of worship, our synagogues, our mosques. So all houses of worship, regardless of the religion or the belief or the faith, need to really, really plan out and think about what their security details should be with their safety team. Not only get some training, but have a threat assessment team, have a reunification center. There's a lot of question I get asked all the time when I do active shooter response training is, I get told all the time, not ask, I get told, well, our church is good because God will protect us. I hear a lot of that. And I talk about that. We go into depth on that in my active shooter training for churches. We talk about my feelings on that. And then we talk about people saying, well, we got a lot of guns in the church, so we're going to be good to go. If the bad guy or girl or transgender is walking down the center aisle of the church, people can't open fire at that person. There's going to be crossfire. There's going to be ricochet. There's going to be friendly fire. What if the bullet goes through the drywall into the children's area? A stray bullet from a good guy goes into the drywall of the children's area and hits a child. So we have to think about that. Our safety team needs to be strategically placed. All this has to be done first. The time that the first shot goes off, you've already passed the time when you can prepare. Or let's look at this one. The time when that transgender walks into that church with the backpack and two rifles, a trench coat, and that seven-year-old boy claiming to have a bomb strapped around him, the time has since passed to start your threat assessment team or to get a good safety team training. Safety team members have to train together. They got to know each other. De-escalation techniques. There's a lot to this. It's not rocket science. It can be done to secure every facility. So This is just some straight up information. As you guys know, I usually try to go out to these locations. I won't be going to this one. Maybe I will in a couple months when the dust settles. But right now, I've got some travel set up, and I've got active shooter training. You know, when we talk about active shooter training, what I'm talking about now is whenever something like this happens, I get a plethora of churches calling me. We got to get you down here to train. We need a facility review. We got to get you to talk to our pastor staff. We got to help you set up our safety team. Folks, why not do that before these attack occurs? And what'll happen is I'm bombarded right now for the next 2 or 3 weeks, got some training scheduled up, and I'll get phone calls for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then it dies down. We all get under our nice, soft, fluffy blanket, and we get back into that zone where nothing's going to happen to us. We have to prepare. This isn't living in fear or paranoia. It's the same reason why we have a fire alarm system in buildings. It's the same reason why we have fire extinguishers in buildings. It's the same reason why we put on our seatbelt when we travel in our car. It's the same reason why if you're baking cookies for your kids or your grandkids, you don't let them go to the kitchen and touch the hot stove. It's threat assessment. It's risk management. Don't live in fear or paranoia. Continue to have church services. Continue to go to church. Have church cookouts. Have church events, Awanas, Vacation Bible School. Go to the movies. Go to sporting events. Go to the mall. Go to the grocery store. Enjoy your life. Just simply have a plan. Know your exits. Carry the tools that you need to have on you to stop somebody like this. So once again, that's it. That's the information I have. And as I get more credible, again, this is from the FBI and a fusion center that puts out credible information. I don't get my information from the internet. I don't get it from Wikipedia. I don't get it from social media. It's all straight up facts. So as I get more information, I'll update you on my social media. Reduce injuries, save lives. If I can help you out, T4Tactics.com. It's a letter T, the number 4Tactics.com. We travel the entire country delivering the absolute very best non-fear-based training on active shooter response training. De-escalation techniques, really important for business to have de-escalation techniques.